Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Chuck Oliver Show podcast is presented by Larceny Bourbon. So smooth, it's criminal. Larceny reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
In the South, it's always college football season. And the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
I asked a provocative question this morning, and it only reminded me how difficult it is to stay great. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Tuesday. Hope everybody is having a glorious day, and I mean that. We got 2 hours of just some conversation for you. It's almost all based around college football, but I hope you enjoy it, and thank you for coming here. My provocative question this morning, and there are offshoots, and reason I landed at this eventually, it was a larger topic about hiring head coaches and what programs are willing to do when they either think they have the right guy or the school across the state has the right guy, so we got to get the right guy too, or whatever situation. So that's how I started out. But then I realized I had kind of started funneling down. All right, well, who gets it right? Who gets it right? Who gets it right? And I got to the ultimate who gets it right. The question that I eventually asked myself this morning was, what has happened to the head coaches who have taken teams to the college football playoffs? And the answer is mostly nothing, which is kind of a letdown. They've stayed and they've kept winning for the most part. When I say most part, folks, half plus one, essentially. 13 head coaches in playoff history. Are we aware of that? Through the history of these 7 years, there would be four teams and 28 spots, and so a total of 13 head coaches. 13 head coaches in playoff history. Exactly one is now coaching in college football at another school. And that took a $75 million contract with every last dollar guaranteed. I mean, check my math. Am I missing anyone? Every other coach who is still in college football remains at the program he coached in the playoffs. It is amazing. It shows if you're looking for the program-defining hire, you are wasting your time unless you've got $75 million and a fake trophy that already says national champs on it, 2000-whatever, 20-something. Unless you've got that, then you're looking at the wrong place, because these guys do not leave the place they took to the college football playoff, not on their own, not for another job. Now, since there are only four spots available each year and about 10 coaches who better be in a semifinal game this season per the fan base, that means there are also several fan bases feeling less than fulfilled, when the reality is their program has done just about everything except win the final game. There are a lot of fan bases looking around going, well, I guess this is where we are. Like, let me ask you a question. Like, can Nick Saban overachieve? Isn't everybody supposed to have some blue sky? Like, isn't everybody supposed to have something that would like, oh, I'm going to, you know what? I need a minute. I'm going to have to think differently about this person in this program now. I'm going to need a minute. Nick Saban, can Dabo overachieve? Everybody should have the opportunity to overachieve. But the college football playoffs has created an environment where if you really want to posture as if you're the elite of the elite, and then you actually do follow through and have a little bit of that success, and by that I mean semifinal appearances, man, that fan base. Oklahoma, go 10-2 and don't make the playoffs. Dare you. Clemson, go 11-1 and don't make the playoffs. Georgia did go. Did they just... Dan, 2018, was LSU the only regular season loss?
They were the only regular season loss, correct. And then...
they lose to Bama, and the committee's like, yeah, Kirby, pound sand.
Yeah, lasting memory for Justin Fields.
You lose in Baton Rouge, and then you lose... it was Jalen Hurts' turn, right, to flip the script.
Yeah, the backup quarterback, yeah.
And Kirby's like, I remember being in that game, that press conference. I talked to man, you talk about anguish. He was like, folks, we deserve it. We deserve it. We deserve it. We deserve it. And I can honestly say, I mean, I'm not a Georgia fan. I just try to watch and evaluate. He didn't want it for himself. He wanted it for the kids. He's already got fists. He's got so much hardware, he can't even wear it. Do you realize that? So many rings, can't wear. I don't know, unless like Kirby's like tentacle man has got like 8 fingers on each hand. Antonio Alfonseca. Dan, do you know about, and yeah.
6.
Yeah, had an extra digit.
Mm-hmm.
That's got to help with what, a curveball or a forkball maybe?
I want to say changeup is what they said it was.
Okay, all right. So... since there are 10, 11, I'm now counting maybe 11, 12 fan bases who look at their coach and go, you better get in the playoffs. That means there are going to be some unfulfilled fan bases who really should not be. And there are some coaches who are realizing, I can't. Ryan Day? What's overachieving at Ohio State? What, are they going to go 16-0? No, I tell you, you know what it is? They actually beat the Bengals. That's the only way they can overachieve at Ohio State. We just went undefeated and won the national championship, and our quarterback won the Heisman. Saying it. Oh, all right. Well, back to the drawing board. Out of the 13 head coaches who have coached a team in the playoffs, still there. Saban, Dabo, Riley, Kirby, Kelly, O, Day. That's 7. Multiple appearances for a couple of them. Left for another job. There's one. It's Jimbo. He took Florida State to the Rose Bowl to play Oregon in 2014. And, boy, what a meltdown. And... then 3 years later, he leaves, all right? So the first category is still there. And out of the 13 head coaches, 7 of them are still at the place that they took. Now, for Coach Ogeron, I mean, not a big deal. For Ryan Day, not a huge deal. For Nick Saban and Dabo? Yeah. Huge deal. Nick Saban's in the first one. So still there, 7. Left for another job, 1. Just left, like went home. You realize there are 4 coaches who took teams to the playoffs and then just took the program to the semifinals or the national championship game or won the thing. 4 of them out of 13 who have put their hands up and said, done, out. Urban Meyers, D'Antonio, Stoops, Chris Peterson. You talk about getting it right. You talk about there being virtually no room for flukes in the college football playoff era. It's hard to fake your way through a college football season. It would take a certain scenario for a head coach who probably shouldn't be there to actually be there. There is one coach out of 13 who has coached in the playoffs who got fired, as Mark Helfrich. And he actually had a lead in that game. I want to say after like 2 minutes, it was 7-0 Oregon. Ohio State's like, all right, we got this. So there are your 13 coaches. 7 of them are still there. 1 left for another job. 4 just left. 1 got fired. If you're looking for the program-defining change, you have to find your own next great coach. That's your lesson. Unless you're, in this case, Texas A&M, and you've got seven. And by the way, even in college football, even in big-time Power 5 SEC West college football, there aren't a lot of programs that can show up with $75 million guaranteed dollars. There aren't a lot of programs that can show up at Florida State and go, we're here for your head coach. Not the head coach. Coordinators? Sure. And it's not anything you ever considered with Bowden and with Jimbo. He got the program back to where it was. He wasn't leaving. He's coaching in the state of Florida and his, you know, family situation with the son and the medical attendant and all that stuff. He had it all figured out. It was all done. He left $75 million and a school in Texas that you can win at. I don't know. Find me a bunch of others. You know, you think Southern Cal is going to show up with $75 million? Every coach they've ever had would like word with you. Think Cal Berkeley's got 70. Find me what David Shaw's getting paid. It ain't 7.5. I bet it's like 2.5 in free schooling if he has kids. By the way, I don't know. David Shaw have kids? David Shaw's got 3 kids at Stanford. That's $200,000 a year.
Quick Google search, $4.31 million.
I bet he would be 13th or 14th in the SEC.
He probably lives in a nice neighborhood in Palo Alto.
Oh, my gosh.
Not the elite nice neighborhood, just a nice neighborhood.
No, he could be a quarter of an acre. Third of an acre. A little bit of a backyard, but with a privacy fence. You just got to go somewhere else. You have to find the next one. You can't rely on Ohio State, Clemson, Alabama, etc. finding that guy for you.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. To Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
We got to go get a quarterback. We can't be starting a true freshman next year. We got to go to the portal. Ryan Day didn't do that. In fact, we got to go attack the transfer portal at several positions. Ryan Day did not do that. Well, we certainly have to overhaul philosophy, right? I mean, we got to get a new defense, new offense in here. He didn't do any of that. Ryan Day largely sat there and said, I think we're pretty much where we need to be, with maybe some minor tweaks needed here and there.
The proof's in the pudding with that. I mean, you put up the kind of season that Ohio State did in 2020, and you realize you are doing a lot right. It is the Chuck Oliver Show on a Tuesday. That's Josh Pate, a guy that we always love catching up with, Late Kick on YouTube, his YouTube channel. And it was at least not an abundance of roster or – and I'll add, I don't know if he was talking about this, but I know he was mentioning roster, but roster, and I'll add coaching staff – changes or overhauls, or even when he had to make a change with the coaching staff. Madison retired, and so that not only, you know, the cool thing about Ryan Day, it not only opened a co-defensive coordinator title, but he was making $1 million+. I think the Buckeyes had 4 assistant coaches making $1 million. I think $1 million. I'm sorry, at least $1 million. $1 million. At least $1 million, and he was one of them. So he retires, and so that frees up some budget if there are budgetary concerns.
and I don't believe there are many of them, not the same ones that other programs have. And so suddenly you got like $1.2 million, it might have been, and a title. Title can be important because of promoting or hiring for an elevated, not a, you know, a parallel move. And when it comes to the roster, I would add this for Josh, and I don't know Ohio State's, you know, Ohio State may have like 88 kids that need to be on scholarship right now, and so they need somebody to go play baseball and get drafted or something. I don't know. But I would also imagine that since it's only May 11th, Ohio State is just like everybody else. Their roster's not done yet. I mean, they just lost the kid Williams, the wide receiver who transferred to Alabama. I mean, were they at 85 with him? Maybe they're at 81 with him. How could we find this out? We should talk to somebody who knows Ohio State. Maybe we'll do that a little later. But that, whatever their numbers are, folks, they're going to be jumping in the portal. They're going to be like everybody else. Alabama, who I look back, remember on signing day? I want to say for what is characterized or was, if we go back to February, what was characterized as Alabama's signing class for this year, I want to say they had 27 kids in it. None of them were transfers. Not one. Well, what did Nick Saban do? He decided to bounce in there a little later and get him a wide receiver. He decided to bounce in a little later, get him a linebacker. I don't know how, and again, I don't even know Alabama's numbers because they've had players leave as well, and it's so fluid. And I'll be honest with you, by December, I stopped even trying to guess. Stop trying to guess. Because I heard reports after the early signing period about how many kids, hey, we think are going to show up in January, and I'm like, no, that's too many. You don't have scholarships available. And it didn't seem to matter. And so there were coaches already, kind of building in a dozen or so guys who would leave the program with eligibility remaining. And I'm even talking about super seniors. So to this point, no, he hasn't done fruit basket turnover on the sidelines or on the depth chart. But I would say Ohio State's going to be like most. Like I said, Nick Saban didn't take one in December or February or anywhere time else. Until recently, and he took, was it a five-star and then a high four-star at linebacker. So Ohio State will jump in there as well. It'll just take a couple of weeks. What up, Dan?
You know, I want to actually play off something that you've talked about before on this show, and that is the trust in Lane Kiffin because of what he's done offensively and the largely distrust in the offenses that are under the control of Kirby Smart as head coach at Georgia. And I think we have a couple of examples that fit your argument from last year's season. The Missouri game last year, who did we finally see get involved in the passing game? Oh, that guy who's 6'7 and 280 pounds from Las Vegas, who is also named Darnell Washington. Oh, he's a tight end. They don't do that at Georgia. And all of a sudden, they started to do that. A lot of people thought, well, maybe this is just coincidental because that Arik Gilbert guy at LSU likely is about to enter the transfer portal. And I think they're trying to show him, hey, we'll throw to guys like you if you come play for us. Largely, it didn't even get to that point. The other one as well is the reliance on the passing game that they had in that game against Cincinnati, where they almost backed themselves into a corner where then they had to have that drive where it was underneath throws, screens, something of the such to be able to get them in the position for Jack Podlesny to be able to kick that final field goal at the end of the year. It's kind of the lack of consistency offensively under Kirby Smart in Athens that has JT Daniels right now not being talked about as one of the top quarterbacks in the country because it's not necessarily about Daniels. I think people look at what he did in those four games and look at what he did his first year at USC and say, yeah, you're plenty good enough. It's just the problem is, guess what, JT? We don't trust your coach to be able to allow you to get to that point.
You see the same sort of thing with running backs, but we look at it as a positive. Won't run him into the ground, won't burn him down to a nub. With quarterbacks, though, it is a deficiency, man. Let it fly.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Braves season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the King of College Football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show, and so much going on in the sport, and then also more ways to measure. We get on-field measurements, 12 Saturdays in the fall, and then bowls and playoffs and title games and all that. And so that's the eventual outcome, we believe. But then there's another measurement. It's draft picks coming out of programs and conferences and divisions. And it tells another, like, how many Sunday guys are you playing against? Okay, that's another measurement on its own. Number of draft picks versus, well, why do you keep going 6-6? You had five guys in a Pro Bowl. There are so many different ways to measure that I have a fun, time coming up with them. Our next guest, he actually extrapolates these things out and comes up with conclusions. I want to welcome on now from College Football Matrix. He is College Football Matrix. It is Dave Bartu. Dave, welcome, man. How are you today?
Dude, I'm doing good. I don't know about coming up with conclusions. I think I actually just like stirring the pot and making people ask more questions than anything at this point.
Well, give us the elevator speech here and how to contact you, because I know you are a consultant and a resource for a wide variety of folks.
Yeah, but actually in this month, the big push has been with agents, getting a lot of phone calls from agents looking for new clients. We actually have a report that we put out now for agents to target up-and-coming coaches to bring into their agent portfolio. So that's been the hot one lately, but giving out my phone number is actually kind of fun. I get about 5-6 texts each week after talking to you from your listeners, all sorts of football questions and comments. So it's fun. But if folks got a pen or a pencil handy, it's 503-504-8710. Hit me up about football. I'll get back to you.
And if you didn't get it, if you got the podcast, just go back and listen to it again. Again, thepodcastpark.com. Subscribe. You can listen to it 10 times if you want. All right. Well, let's talk about, and I want to take this in order, because something you've talked about a few times, you've referenced it, and I asked you a little more, to expand last week. But, are you recruiting good? Are you coaching good? And that there are positives, and you can make a living doing either. But for the ultimate success, obviously, you've got to have elite players there. Just talk a little bit about what you see, trends, individual programs or coaches, et cetera, recruiting rankings with eventual top 25 rankings, the results on the field.
Right. I started doing this, 5-6 years ago. Because I was trying to figure out how to try to answer the question of program development, right? You hear that all the time. Oh, this program develops players. That program develops players. But what do they develop them for? Do they develop them for a coaching system? Or do they develop them for the NFL? Now, with recruiting rankings, we have recruiting rankings. And we can also take the number of draft picks and rank those programs as well. Right. So if your recruiting equals your draft development, for example, Alabama's the number one recruiter over the last 10 years. And you correlate that with the draft picks. They're also number one in draft picks. So, they're where they're supposed to be. Ohio's number two at recruiting. Ohio's number two at draft picks. And so I started looking at that as a way to maybe one more measuring stick on how programs are or are not developing NFL draft picks, because there's a lot of good coaches out there that don't have a lot of draft picks. They're system coaches. They just get more out of their players and win football games without having NFL talent. So you start looking at all the numbers, and it's really interesting, at least from my perspective, because a lot of the programs that overperform their talent over a significant amount of time. You know, so for example, the last 15 years, the three best programs that have a higher draft pick ranking than recruiting ranking are Wisconsin, Utah, and Iowa. No surprise, right? I mean, good programs, lots of draft picks, mid-30s, mid-40s recruiting, but they're all top 20 in NFL draft picks. These are programs that are developing, identifying, finding NFL talent beyond their recruiting and doing it better than anybody else in the country.
Continuing with Dave Bartu, again, he is CFB Matrix. Get him on Twitter right there. Okay, well, let's take this a little further then. What about number of draft picks, which round, et cetera, and relationship to program success or all the way back to recruiting success? And I know, you know, you were touching on, you know, some there, but, I have seen in multiple cases because, we got to be honest, Dave, most of me, all right, I'm a fan and media, most of us don't look at it with the same drill down as you. We just say, wait a minute, that guy keeps putting all these players in the pros, we go 6-6, or we didn't go to a bowl, or, you know, we lost to the rival. We just look at the most base bottom line, you know, that there is. We'll talk more about that then than just, well, he put five guys in the pros but had a losing record.
Yeah, it's obviously not an exact science there, but you start looking at some of the programs that, for example, put out a lot of picks that just simply aren't performing well. I'm trying to think of some right off the top of my head that actually do. Recently, probably one of the more surprised teams is Stanford. This is a top 25 recruiter that is top 15 in NFL draft picks over the last 4 years. But I think their record is sub 500. In your area, you probably hear this a lot about Miami. You know, why are there so many NFL draft picks and such bad results? Coaching.
And I don't know how far back you go, but if you go back and look at Jim Donnan, if you want just like a little side project, go look at – and I hate to do it because I really, really am fond of this guy. I love talking football with him. But if you look at Jim Donnan and the number of all-SEC players, draft picks, first-rounders, pro bowlers eventually off his rosters in Athens – and the level of on-field success, I mean, it literally was the conversation that got him fired. Why do we keep having all these first-round picks, but we don't beat Georgia Tech?
Well, but isn't that Georgia football? Maybe it's bigger than him. Maybe it's a Georgia football thing, okay? Because you look at the top 10 recruiters of the last 20 years. Who's the only one without a national title?
I would guess Georgia.
Georgia. Okay, you look at the top 10 recruiters of the last 6 years, which is one of two teams that isn't top 10 in NFL draft picks, Georgia. You know, there's so many things that go back to Georgia is a really, really good recruiter, at least on paper, but they are A, not that great at developing draft picks compared to their recruiting, and B, their recruiting hasn't translated into what it should. Everybody else has translated it into a national title. Everyone, Bama, LSU, Auburn, Florida State, Texas, Oklahoma, USC, all of them have transferred that recruiting into a national title, at least one, except Georgia. So maybe it's not his problem. Maybe it's bigger. Maybe it's something, whether it's boosters or an internal culture. There is something beyond the coaching that is holding Georgia back. It just may not be that one guy. He just may have been there and held the flag while things were underperforming. But if you notice, it's the same thing. Every time, rinse, wash, recycle, repeat, it's the same thing. The talent's there. The results just haven't come.
One more question before I let you run. We're going to take a break and then bring you back, wrap up the hour. One more question about the SEC and Nick Saban and Alabama. You have talked many times before about how, you know, like, I'm just going to give some programs. Whether it was, I said UTEP one time, UNLV, how you could show up and there was so much, like, low-hanging, easy-to-make improvements, you know. But I've also wanted you to talk about Alabama, because Alabama mm-hmm. would not be necessarily comparing itself to its division rivals or SEC rivals. It would be comparing itself to, we're not at 100%. We're not at absolutely. And so there's still improvement you could make if, for instance, you were to consult with Alabama. But just talk about that like forensic level of improvement.
Yeah. You know, like if they called and said, okay, Dave, give me some ideas of how we can get better. Right. I mean, that's ultimately what you're asking. And so you look at somebody like Alabama, it's hard to try to envision where they could make it better, because they have so much staff, they have so much money, they can review so much film. The only thing I could think of right off the top of my head would be trying to get more time coaching and less time recruiting. Okay. And one of the ways to do that is just a better attrition rate. Now, Alabama doesn't lose a lot of guys. Yeah. And now with NIL, and I mean, because they just rolled out their own NIL program that says, hey, you come here, we're going to help you monetize. You know, they have a group that is going to help the kids monetize their images. It's hard to think of anything that would make Alabama stronger, other than the new rules. The new rules are actually making Alabama better, because now they
absolutely
are going
agree.
To they can get rid of a guy that is an all Big 12 linebacker, but isn't a starter at Alabama, and they can go recruit a new starter, a better player. So this stuff that's happening, to me, it's just going to make Alabama stronger and better. And as long as Nick is there, they keep being innovative. And to me, he's the psychological force that's driving all of this. So right off the top of my head, I can't think of anything that the numbers would do to make them stronger, because they have all the weapons they need to get the best players in football on campus.
All right, the other 129 ADs, you need to get in touch with this guy. Dave, we're going to take a break. Be back in a couple more minutes. Continue with Dave Bartu from College Football Matrix.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season. The Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
Texas Christian. They had been a proud program. Not recently, but they had been a proud program. And then it was the 80s, and then it was the 90s, and Jim Wacker left them on probation, et cetera, et cetera. Then a guy named Gary Patterson shows up. Folks, he's been the head coach there for exactly 20 seasons. He's got 11 double-digit win seasons. And I'm saying as a minimum of 10 wins. He's got 11 win seasons. He's got four of those. He's got 12 win seasons. He's got a 13-win season. And for the first time ever, he's gone three straight years without a 10-win season. I want to bring Dave Bartu back in from CFB Matrix. Dave, it's both. I mean, that's the best and the worst of the reality of being a head coach. TCU, I think, has their most accomplished coach in the history of the program, and they won some national titles back in the 30s. But after three straight years of not winning double-digit games. There's conversation, at least, on the outside about, all right, what happens next with Gary Patterson? You tell me what you think about Gary Patterson, who's the head coach at TCU right now, May of 2021.
Right off the top of my head, I got to think that what happens next for Gary Patterson is up to Gary Patterson. Right. I mean, he's been there long enough. He's proven himself. Like you said, 11 out of 17 years, double digit wins.
Yeah.
But it hasn't been there the last 3 years. That's probably one of your bigger surprises in college football is TCU hasn't had one of those years, hasn't had one of those pops because the opportunity's been there. You know, I mean, Texas hasn't been that good. Oklahoma State went from a mid-20s recruiter down to a mid-40s recruiter.
Oh, no.
You know,
so they're Iowa State being better does not excuse this.
No, absolutely not. In fact, that's Iowa State has basically taken Gary Patterson's place, right?
Yeah.
I mean, this is what Iowa State is doing right now the last couple of years is what you and I would have expected out of Gary Patterson. Higher talent level, experienced coach. He's done it before. You know, I always talk about these windows of opportunities. When the top three recruiters in a division or a conference aren't at 100%, that's your window of opportunity. You know, we've seen it in the SEC East. We've seen it in the Big Ten West. We've seen it in the Pac-12 North. We've seen it all over the country. And to me, Gary Patterson was that guy to utilize that window of opportunity with all these other teams not performing at their highest peak, but instead it's been Iowa State. But going back to your original question is what do we do next with Gary Patterson? I think he's been there long enough. It's kind of like Bill Snyder. It's like when he wants to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
He gets to go, you know, it's just, I guess all TCU can do is just try to be in contact with him and be ready when he hangs it up because he's had the opportunity to leave and he's never going to do it.
Oh, absolutely. And there are so many, you know, behind the scenes, man, you talk about having roots, like deep, deep, deep roots. And I'm talking like outside of sports in that area, business, et cetera. It's a real deep picture there with Gary Patterson. But, the weird thing is that you remember the level it got to with Bobby Bowden. And he won two national championships at Florida State. And it got to the point where even Florida State fans were like, who is going to wheel him out of town? His son, the offensive coordinator, the family dog, I can't have him coaching the team anymore. And Jimbo already had the $5 million bounty there. So, like, it can even get that. I mean, it can get that way even with a legend.
Right. Now, isn't that where the legends usually end up, though? That everybody, they hang on too long. They don't retire soon enough. They're trying to relive what they've done before because they've been coaching forever, right? I mean, these guys, they're wound differently. Their mental makeup is different. Keep doing this over and over. It is a tough job. It is a thankless job. It is a 24/7, 365 job. But for a lot of these guys, they know nothing else. Nothing. There's nothing else in their lives but college football. And to try and basically just stop it and give up on it and move on,
yeah.
I think you see it a lot. Guys just hang on those extra 2-3 years. You look back and you go, if Bowden would have just hung it up 3 years ago. You know, or Bill Snyder would have just hung it up a couple of years ago, or, you know, you name it. A lot of these guys, it's always hanging on for a couple extra years, but it's no different. Same thing with an NFL player, right? There's always those couple of years that you look back, you go, they shouldn't have done that, but he earned it, so whatever.
Yep, it's Emmitt Smith playing for the Cardinals. I want to ask you about, last thing, James Franklin. And because there's an idea you mentioned, a concept you mentioned, I believe, in the first segment, and it's who you're coaching against. James Franklin, and there is not enough context to explain away to minimize what he did at Vanderbilt. However, when you look at who was coaching and at some of the other, the big three in the SEC at that point and where some of those programs were when he was beating teams like Tennessee and he beat Florida and he beat Georgia, do you have more of a complete picture now about James Franklin? Has it changed than maybe you thought 5 or 6 years ago? Or what do you think about James Franklin leading a program right now?
You know, something, I still think he's a top 10 coach in college football. I agree with you 100% what he did at Vanderbilt. You really can't even quantify how amazing it was.
No.
Not just win losses, but changing the recruiting. I mean, he was pulling a top 25 class when he left. And he's done really solid work at Penn State. The recruiting is number two in the Big Ten. It is borderline elite. The number of draft picks, we were just talking about that before. His recruiting to draft pick ratio is positive, so he's getting these guys and developing them. He has gone through a bit of bad luck in terms of getting his program cherry picked for his offensive and defensive coordinators. I think that's hurt him a lot. He's gone through, I think he's had three or four OCs and DCs hired away from him in the last 4 years. So there's no coaching. It's not like Clemson. Clemson has survived off of really good recruiting, but phenomenal coaching continuity. Nobody's been able to take these guys. So I think Franklin is still an elite head coach and extremely good at identifying coordinators and recruiting. He's just good all the way around. Just hasn't put it together in that really magical year I think you and I expect him to have at some point.
All right, can we go ahead? I want to tease for 7 days from now, and I want you to come on with a special project, okay?
You got it.
I have been trying to figure out all of the reasons that Mario Cristobal has success. And I'm not just talking about has success as a head coach. He did it at FIU, believe it or not. He really was, folks. Go back and look. And also at Oregon. There ain't no players in Oregon. There are facilities and money and everything else, but I specifically want you to talk about his hiring next week, okay? Because I think Mario Cristobal, when folks look at it, I think in a relatively short career as a head coach, he's done an amazing job making some hires.
I will be ready next week to discuss what I feel are his high points, his low points, and what he has to do next with the tools in the bag.
All right, brother. We will talk to you 7 days from now. Thank you.
Looking forward to it. Thank you.
All right, Dave Bartu again from College Football Matrix. But that was one thing about James Franklin that, again, you cannot context away the impressive nature of just the impossible stuff. Like, if it's in a script, you got to change the script. Pick somebody else to win nine games, not Vanderbilt. Kentucky, yeah, way more likely, yes, put Kentucky. James Franklin was shifting forms at Vanderbilt, looking like a nine-win team. When South Carolina was winning the East, when the Gamecocks were winning 10 or 11 games in a season. So, again, I'm not taking away any credit because he found a way to do it in a year that Tennessee didn't, for instance. He found a way to do it in a year, for instance, that maybe Florida didn't. But there's a reason. There are some very clear explanations about how he got there. I don't minimize it at all, but when Vanderbilt beats Georgia, Tennessee, and Florida in the same season, there has to be something beyond, well, they just had the better team. It was a little bit that the other programs had come back to Vanderbilt and certainly to South Carolina. Just a weird, weird few seasons.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.